y'all gonna do now?
We hadn't thought that far ahead.
Wait for a divine sign of some kind.
I might have had a divine sign, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been having this dream.
Oh, I've been having this. I've been having those dreams as well. The strange dream with the glowing light and.
Yeah, and the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I also have dreams that are good.
Care to share?
No, it sounds like both of you have all the details, and I'd like to hear what your perspective is.
My recollection,
the glowing light and the eyes.
My recollection is, and this is not at all something it is something I wrote down. Sarna pulls out a little journal, just a tiny little journal out of their back pocket.
And the journal has the words campaign notes written on it.
Exactly.
It's Sarna's dream journal.
It's Sarna's dream journal. It's exactly what it is. I was in this temple with a glowing light, standing on a platform surrounded by these glowing runes. And then the runes went bright and then dark again. And then the last thing I saw was a pair of these glowing yellow snake-like eyes, and they changed from yellow to green and all these other colors, and then they closed, and then I woke up. That sound like what happened to you, Ev?
Similar. I have a lot of dreams, so sometimes the details get messy.
That's the dream that I've been having. Yeah, I think maybe it might be considering our recent trials. Looking into the glass treasure.
Oh, I just had a realization.
I think this dream might be.
I just had a revelation. So you and I, Ziadani and Sarna, are the only people who are having these dreams, right?
Yeah.
And we both worship Pachacuano.
Yep. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Sarna knows in character that you worship Pachacuano, which is why I sang it out of character. I don't think that. Yeah, I don't know if we've had that conversation.
I don't think so.
So that's something I know, and Sarna does it. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask. Is there any rhyme or reason to when you have these dreams, or is it just every night, or what's going on?
Well, I think I had one last night.
Me too. And I think it was only the second time I've had it. I think I had it pretty quickly after finding the whatever that stuff was that made us magic.
We were in the mine, and then we got back from the mine, and then I had the dream, and then we were inside the glass treader, and then we got outside the glass treader after your trials, and then I had the dream.
Yeah, so it sounds like we had the dreams at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Has to be a sign then.
I think so. So the dream had the shadowy figures, and it had the jumping, like when we was in the glass treader. And then it had the eyes, which ain't like what we saw in the glass treader. Mm. But there was definitely kind of like serpent eyes, which I'm thinking is Quattle watching us.
You know, you have some kind of connections to Quattles, right?
Yeah, my mom is a Quattle.
Oh, that's
impressive. Just saying that.
Yeah.
It's impressive to her, it's just mom.
I hatched from an egg.
You hatch from?
I hatch from what? An egg.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Ooh. That's pretty freaking cool. I'm a little starstruck right now, and I've known you for weeks. I mean, I worship Potty Quaddle. Always, been a bit of my upbringing and got stronger when I left my life of crime. But, you know, you probably can tell that with my tattoo. But, yeah. That's nowhere near as much of a connection as being hatched from an egg.
You got Potty Quaddle tattoo?
Yeah, that's what this is. And I point to my arm, and you can see in my character art I have a purple Quaddle tattoo on one of my arms, and so I kind of indicate that.
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
You think it could be a Quaddle speaking to us?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so, yeah.
That is so much... Oh, that is even cooler than our magic powers. That... Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I just... Wow. I feel starstruck right now on so many levels.
Would it make sense to try to find a Potty Quaddle temple or priest nearby for us to talk to, maybe?
I think that's a great idea.
All right.
Can't hurt, right? Maybe we might go in there and hear, oh, there just so happens to be a old temple that's been unearthed that we need someone to go help us with, or maybe they've had visions or something.
Has Ayla Mesa heard anything?
Ayla Mesa hasn't heard anything about any temple uncoverings or anything, and there's not any Potty Quaddle temple in town.
Hmm.
There is the kind of non-denominational chapel where
water temple.
Ooh.
The water god temple
might be a place to check out, see if they...
We could check locally at least, and then maybe
they
that'll
might
give
at least
stepping
know
stone.
Where the they might know where the closest temple to Potty Quaddle is.
Do either of us know where the closest temple to Potty Quaddle would be?
You know that, yeah, you're. We'll say that a lot of you know that Potty Quaddle has a lot more worship in southern central Arcadia, so like the Razatlan, Zapotl kind of regions. So it's not uncommon to have stuff out here, but if there were to be one, it wouldn't be anywhere close by. At least you wouldn't, you'd think and be like, there's not one in New Haywood, there's not one in Altamira, so there's not one like immediately that we can think of.
Probably don't need to trek all the way to Zapotl at this point.
No, if you really want to, who am I to stop you?
Goodbye, campaign.
We have to go ask someone about our dream.
Well, I say we start locally then. See what happens.
All right.
Worst case scenario, we just learned of something else that we should go looking into.
And learn something amazing about Donnie.
Yeah. So you also worship Potty Quaddle, Ev? That why you've been having the dream?
No, I'm just Elvin, so I have a lot of dreams. I trance a lot. Uh-huh. I've been alive for many decades, so it just
right,
all gets jumbled up.
Yeah, so many dreams.
Yeah. And aspirations, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is Saren faithful?
Saren firmly believes there are gods and they should not be mocked or annoyed.
There you go.
That's fair.
I think that's a good way to be.
And since mocking and annoying people is his primary tactic, he mostly tries to stay away from gods, which is making his current circle of friends a little complicated.
Amazing. I mean, if you really want to know... And I don't really share this because I try to keep up that, ne'er-do-well front, but I have followed Grandmother Spider for a long time to my father. Followed before he was brought here through Chelish control. So, yes. Ev just nods, suddenly much more serious.
That's super cool.
Y'all have heard of Grandmother Spider. She is a deity that's more commonly worshipped off to the east, but not in the same east that Saren originates from. There's a lot of trade between Garund and the eastern part of Arcadia. Fair enough, that's where the coast is. And so a lot of the times, you know, gods end up traversing with these trades and stuff. So, yeah, Grandmother Spider is definitely something, is someone you've heard of. You probably wouldn't know much beyond that, like, I've heard of her, and I know that people worship her, but I don't know really what she's about. I don't know, she's a spider, I guess? Who knows? Similarly to how worship of Kazutal has slowly become a thing in like Absalom and the likes, like, oh yeah, that's that Arcadian goddess. I don't know, she's a thing, cool.
She's a stone cold badass. I mean,
yeah, she's pretty great. She's pretty tough, cool lady. So is Grandmother Spider in her own ways.
Yes.
Technically, I worship Desna, but one of the reasons I worship Desna is as long as I'm not an evil force in the world and I make poetry, Desna sort of doesn't care about the rest of it. So if I have to fill it out on a form, that's what I write.
Amazing.
Where was Ev born, and like, how old is he?
Ev looks like many elves of under a few centuries to be young, and seems to maintain a youthful appearance. But Sarna maybe has heard that Ev's been in the area a very long time, and he did just say that he's been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking about dreams. If you want to know out of character, Ev is over a century old.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. But Ev was born here. It's just his father was Mwangi.
Gotcha.
Wow. So many revelations today.
Mm. Yeah, we're learning about each other.
I wrote up this very complicated history for Ev, and I was like, here, Luis. But I love Grandmother Spider. It's... and you can see that reflected in Ev's clothing as well. The various multicolored scarves are an homage to
Grandmother Spider. It makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes. And I know that you're the one with the spider mount, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yep. It all comes together.
The Grandmother Spider is all about taking care of one's community and family. Doesn't like manipulative, powerful people controlling and using those that are in need. So also why Ev is not a fan of the Chelish.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say.
Yeah.
So many reasons to not be a fan of them.
Yeah, like they're like you need more, right? Grandmother Spider is all about deception and trickery, but also knowledge and community.
Good stuff.
I love Grandmother Spider. Anyway, Ev's probably like playing with the scarves around his belt and like the actual around his breeches as well, trying to like make sure they look nice as he's thinking about Grandmother Spider in the moment.
That's adorable.
All right, so well, you're free to go speak with whomever you like at this point.
Oh, yes, the temple, temples, I don't really go in there much because, again, I try to keep this on the quiet, especially when I'm monitoring some of the people coming into town. I don't want them to actually think I care about things, because then they're much less likely to just drink and play games with me and tell me their story. So, oh, I might as well go with you. Ha, then we'll get drinks. Seb grins.
Yeah, should we head to the temple?
Sure thing.
So the theory is to head to the temple, poke it twice, and see if an adventure pops out?
Yeah.
I'm in.
That was my goal.
There, we move your tokens on roll 20. What an exciting
time. We have arrived.
Yeah, so you go to the chapel in town, which doesn't have, like, you know, it's not like St. Matthew's Chapel or anything. It's just, it's the chapel. There's no name for it. And it's mid-afternoon at this point. There's like one or two people just randomly in there praying or like sitting down and reading and stuff. But when you arrive, there is a half-orc in priest-ish vestments. If they are a priest, they look more off duty than anything else. As you arrive, he kind of turns and just gives you a nod and assumes that you're here to pray or do whatever. And he goes about his business.
We apparently fall in the whatever category.
Yeah. Ev looks at Sarna and Ziandani and just like points to that person like, maybe talk to them.
Think we should talk to them, or should we just try praying, or what do you think?
Oh yes, praying. That's probably a good idea first. See if something comes to you.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Today's episode, Sarna and Ziandani try prayer. Yes.
Exploring spirituality.
Yeah, I guess I kneel down at whatever place looks inspiring. Are there pews? I don't know.
Yeah, well, there are pews. They're like benches and stuff you can sit at.
Okay.
So I guess the image of the typical church that you would see in most TV and movies probably fits here. It's non-denominational seating, so anyone is free to sit wherever. And you take a seat, you begin to pray. Is there anything in particular you're thinking about or praying about when you do so? Like, I hope that we find an answer to, you know, where we got these powers from or something. Or are you just kind of like, hey, gods, anyone listening, let me know.
I think I'm asking Pati Kuadl for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The mind frame. Yeah.
Yeah.
So since I do technically worship Desna, the great dreamer, the tender of dreams, Lady Luck, goddess of the North Star, Mother Moon, and this is a dream-related question, I am going to ask her if there is something I should be doing to help my friends with their dreams, since their dreams fall within your bailiwick, regardless of where they come from, send me a sign. Hopefully a nice clear sign, but if it's something complicated involving chaos and dancing and luck and travel, I'll try and work it out.
Yeah, I think Ev leans up against like one of the supporting pillars, like crossing his arms over his chest, trying to look like he's all chill and cool and doesn't really care, but is closing his eyes and thinking of Grandmother Spider and asking for apology if he's harmed someone who was trying to show kindness, because that's anathema to Grandmother Spider, but also, you know, how can I help? How can I be more clever? How can I assist these people in their endeavor as well as help the town of Altameda?
I don't think I've ever had anyone like actually pray in a game before, so this is an interesting place to go, I think.
Oh, also humiliate the powerful. That's also important to Grandmother Spider.
To what?
Humiliate the powerful.
Humiliate the powerful, yes.
I love that RPGs, there's so much religion in the abstract, but very little actual practicing of religion.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go one by one and see if the gods respond. If this were a game, I mean, I'm going to have something happen to each of you. I could randomly roll dice and then pretend I'm coming up with something, but, you know, I'm figuring this.
Lightning strikes Ev.
Lightning strikes
Ev. It's the glass treader.
Yes, the glass treader arrives and says, follow me. No,
just
so
just to be clear, right. If that happened, we'd follow it, right?
That is accurate.
All right, I it's good to know I have a way out if I ever like need you to get back onto the rails at some point. So all right, Sarna is like always in the front of the group, I guess, because that's what Sarna does. They take point, and that, as a result, Sarna gets first onto the prayer, and all of these images that I'm going to describe, all these things that happen in the same instant. There's no way for you all to know, like, in character, that it's like all happening at the exact same moment, but it leads to the fun situation where you're all going to sit up and be like, I got it at the exact same moment. So Sarna is asking Patikuato for guidance. And there is just a brief moment where Sarna feels like they slip into a dream yet again. And rather than have the same dream where you're in that chamber and whatnot, all you see is the briefest flash of what looks to be a structure. It's looks to be a pyramid in terms of shape, except it's got lots of levels. It looks like there's steps along the pyramid all along the way. And it almost feels like you're seeing it from like a bird's eye view of things. And it seems to be just kind of out in the open, in the not exactly desert, but it's not full on like green plains and whatnot as well. It's just kind of out in the open. It's right along a canyon. And as you're seeing this flash before you, you get the sense that like, oh, this is the temple to Patikuato, or a temple to Patikuato. And that's what you get in the brief instant of your prayer. So yeah, Dani also asked Patikuato for guidance, but instead of getting the image of the structure, you get the image of what looks to be a woman, and she is clad in kind of these flowing robes, very colorful robes, and the robes are decorated with lots of feathers, much like you kind of decorate yourself with lots of feathers and stuff. It a very Quattle theme of things. And she, you see her, it's kind of more of a close-up view of just her, and it looks like she's sitting on a cart or a wagon or something and just kind of riding along, and if this were like the internet days, you might just see like an animated loop of her for like 2 seconds just like casually just sitting there. But you also get the feeling that she is a fellow follower of Patikuato. Moving on to Saren, who is asking Desna for dream stuff, to kind of parse out what might be going on with the dreams that your companions are having. Yours is, unfortunately, even though you asked for it not to be, it is a bit more abstract. You see the temple thing that I described, the steps pyramid, as well, but you don't recognize it as anything in particular. You just see the structure, and then you see the night sky is above it, and what you see is looks to be a star just kind of pluck out of the sky and come down to the very top point of the structure there, and when it touches the top of that, it suddenly irradiates the entire thing with light. And as that light glows and the temple starts to glow, that's when you get a kind of a vague feeling from Desna as if to say, that's your destination. And Grandmother Spider responds to Ev in, I guess, less direct means. Ev, you see a webbing. You see kind of a web. And it looks like there is a figure trapped in the center, like you know, like a fly trapped on a spider's web. But this figure is just shadow again. And as you kind of in your mind get closer to that figure and look at the figure seems to open their eyes. You can't see eyes, but suddenly there is like light filled with where there are eyes. And they look at you and it feels like they're piercing your soul almost when doing so. And the web, as soon as the eyes open up and you feel like almost like you're in danger, like this figure can see you, the web starts to kind of wrap around this figure entirely until they're completely encased in the webbing. And you feel the weird message that you seem to be getting from this is that's the figure that needs stopped.
Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. Last episode I mentioned I would talk about improvising material for your adventures, and I guess now I should do that. I went into the session that these episodes came from with no notes written down, which meant I had no immediate expectations or needs with the story at hand. However, it didn't mean I came in unprepared. While I'm no expert in the intricacies of improvisation, I've been doing a lot of it while GMing over the years. I'm hoping to share some of my tips now for how I improvise at the game table, and hopefully some of these tips help you out when wanting to do so for your games. So, as I mentioned, I came to the session without any notes, but I wasn't unprepared. My first tip is to learn the world of your campaign or adventure. This can take any number of forms. If you're running a pre-written adventure, this can be as simple as making sure to read the entire adventure beforehand. You don't have to have the whole thing memorized, but knowing the general story beats of the adventure, knowing notable NPCs, or knowing which locations are part of the adventure can be super helpful. When the player starts straying from the adventure, you can use this knowledge to subtly nudge them back on track. For example, if the adventure features a castle that serves as an important location in the later half of the adventure, you could use that knowledge to guide the players back toward the castle if they ever seem like they're straying away from getting anywhere close to that. It's possible that the players miss the adventure's assumed hooks by choosing not to talk to the right NPCs or missing an important clue like not reading an enemy's journal. No worry. Getting to the castle is the important thing, so you can find other ways to point the players there. Maybe a town local gets kidnapped by the castle's residents, or a bard tells them of a treasure in the castle's dungeon, or the cleric receives a dream from their god that points them toward the castle. Knowing that the castle is the ultimate goal is the key thing here, so you can build up toward that goal in whatever way you like. If you're running homebrew material, be it in a pre-written campaign setting or in a world of your own design, you can use a similar methodology to help you out. Read up on the important bits of the setting so you know who important NPCs are, key locations in the region, and some of the history. These can be wielded in much the same way that a story goal can, allowing you to use what you know about these subjects to either nudge the story in certain directions or scratch the itch that the players have. Knowing that there's a mercenary leader with a base in town can be useful when the players want to meet a quest giver, or when they need information on local bandits, if they want training and new fighting techniques, and half a dozen other things, I'm sure. If you happen to be writing the entire setting yourself, you don't need to go as far as writing an entire book worth of setting info to get you going. Key ideas are fine, and you don't even need to write them down. I think if you take the time to figure out three important NPCs and maybe two or three important details about the area, you're off to a great start. These don't have to be fleshed out either. These can just be little ideas, like that the town has a priest, a guard captain, and a leader of a thieves guild as notable NPCs. Just knowing these three NPC concepts, whether or not you take the time to name them or figure out much of their backstory, will be useful and allow you to build off of them as you need. That, here's another tip that goes with that. Try to make sure that your NPCs cover three basic concepts: combat, magic, and skills or information. Essentially, figure out the town's important fighter, wizard, and rogue, and you have a lot of stuff covered. I might talk more about improvising material in later episodes, but hopefully this gives you enough to get started with. I feel that improvisation is really all about being able to pull on knowledge and experience to create believable situations. So the more you do it, the better you'll get at it, and the more you'll know what works best for you when you want to improvise. Keep in mind that not everyone is able to improvise, or at least able to do so as quickly as others can, and that's okay. In fact, here's one more tip before I go. Don't be afraid to pause the game for a bit to sort everything out. If the players decided to speak with that head of the Thieves Guild and you feel that you're not going to be able to come up with enough material on the fly to keep going, call for a break. Giving yourself 5, 10, or 15 minutes should give you plenty of time to gather your thoughts and sort out what can happen next. In this case, don't feel like you need to sort out the entire scene with every detail, but figure out some key details like the NPC's name, a brief description, a personality quirk or two, a quest they can give the players, and maybe some other information they can share, maybe about the town or some other event that's going on. These can be one or two word ideas, or they can even end up tying back to something you've actually prepared in advance. Whatever it is, you'll be glad you took the extra time to figure things out, and your players won't mind that short break before diving back into the game. Even better, if this is near the end of the session, you can actually just cut things early and let everyone know that they'll meet the NPC next time, which gives you a lot more time to work with. Okay, that's really all for me for now. Give improvising a try, but don't sweat it too much. It's tough. Believe me. The heroes have been praying for a long time now, so I think it's time to get back to them and see what happens next. Let's hear that guitar.
That all happens in the same instant, and all of you open your eyes up at the exact same moment with sudden realization after your call to the gods.
Cyrodiil, get himself up and do a little dance out of the church. Literally dancing his way out. And then wait outside.
Bye.
Yep.
Bye, Saren. We should probably talk. I just saw. So we should probably talk about it in private.
Yeah.
Should we go back to Nana's?
Yeah, let's go.
Ev's just being chill and casual up against that pillar, but once all three have left, just kind of shrugs and nods and walks out after them. I'm cool. And we'll follow to wherever they're going.
Is there a candy jar in the temple so I can bring something to Nana?
There's not a candy jar in the temple.
Darn! I thought I'd ask.
All right, so thing, you make your way to Nana's then.
Well, and yeah, on the way there, I had a vision.
Yeah.
No way.
I had a vision.
I did too.
Okay. Well, we should compare visions. We can do that at Nana's, since we are trying to keep Nana in the loop.
You make your way to Nana's to speak on these visions. What's up? What are you all up to then? So Nana, of course, lets you in because Nana is ever kind.
And then we go upstairs to Sarna's room.
Yeah. Yes, go to Sarna's room.
I make sure to give Nana a kiss on the cheek before, though.
Oh, okay.
I keep thinking of Sarna's this, room. Cramped little kid's bedroom where there's still like old things on the wall from when Sarna was so much younger, and we're just sitting there plotting our adventure.
This is a different child's bedroom.
She's not a... Yeah. She's not actually my biological grandma. She's my adopted Nana, so I didn't grow up in her house.
She's an empty nester who's renting out the room.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, so... Ev still assumes all the artwork that apparently was done last year is yours. And it's superb. All those stick figures.
Why, thank you.
So you're up in Sarna's room. You boot up the Xbox to play four-player Halo.
Ooh.
So I prefer
Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero. That's good. Just don't play DDR because it really sounds really loud down in the kitchen. So you're in the room. Guitar Hero is now canon to Galarian.
Perfect.
This is the only official thing that's made it into the world.
I guess it ought to be Loot Hero, right?
Yes, Loot Hero, Drum Hero, Harpsichord Hero, etc. You had visions. You had, or yes, messages. Something. You have had responses from the gods, which is very kind of them, considering they don't have to do any of that.
I saw a woman in a temple. I think she probably a priestess of Pati Quattle. She looked like this, and then I'm just gonna transform.
Amazing.
Quick clarification: you didn't see her in a temple. You okay. saw her like it looked like she was riding in a cart or something, or a wagon. Or
she was riding.
But everything else
in a wagon. She had some feathers on her robes and whatnot.
I saw one of those step pyramids, you know, but I could tell, I could just feel it. It was a temple to Pati Quattle.
I also saw a step pyramid, but for me, the main thing was that a big light came down from the sky and inhabited the step pyramid. And I had a distinct sense that is where we should go in response to the question, what should we do to try and figure out your two's dreams, Odesna, Keeper of Dreams?
All right.
I also asked her to be really, really clear about it. But, you know, the great dreamer, the song of the spheres, the tender of dreams, goddess of fortune in the North Star, she gave it all vague. And that's her performance. That's fair. To be official, I'm not complaining about the divine vision I got from my goddess. I'm just pointing out that she could have just given me a list.
Sound pretty clear to me. It's a big arrow pointing at a place.
Yeah. Well, it's a big arrow pointing at the picture of a place. Yeah. I still don't know where that place is.
Well, that's fine.
So there was a canyon. I saw a canyon. And it was not quite desert. It was more brush than desert. So that's kind of the climate we're looking for, and somewhere that's brush and has a canyon.
So to be clear, we had a vision of a step pyramid on the other side of a canyon with all of us on our mounts, just like the promo art for this actual podcast.
I didn't put that together. Amazing.
I had a vision that I was kind of climbing along a giant web, and one of the shadow figures was at the center. Their eyes opened and light came out, and it looked like they were just staring right through my very soul. It was very unnerving. I didn't see any step pyramid or anything. And then webs started wrapping around them and encasing them, and it kind of felt like that specific shadow figure needed to be stopped and contained. So mine felt a lot more menacing.
What their eyes look like?
They didn't really have eyes. It was more just like opening of shadow, but then piercing light.
Color.
What color was the light?
We'll just say it was a bright white light.
It was just bright and white, luminous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably not the same eyes that we've been seeing in our dream then.
No, I don't think. I think mine was more of a general warning.
They were more humanoid than reptilian.
More humanoid, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good then.
I thought that since all of yours aligned and mine is more like, whoa, this was bad. I figured I should call that one out.
Strange, because the shadow figures that we saw in at the Glass Treader, they were helpful.
They was
so, yeah, maybe this was more of a betrayer shadow figure.
So
yeah, the shadow figures may represent like an era instead of a group.
I think it's a previous group of people who had similar powers to what we had. And one of them bestowed their stuff that they had on Sarna after testing her. And then maybe one of the other ones was, like you said, a betrayer shadow person.
Yeah, maybe didn't want to give it up or something. Maybe studied some sort of magic that would allow them to persist or manipulate what they'd had.
He squeezed the others like little fruits and juiced them and slurped up their power. That was
just because that analogy is so disturbing. I hope you're wrong.
Well, that was something that you said before. That you was concerned.
Yes, but it wasn't as disturbing when I said it.
When Saren says things, it sounds whimsical. But when Ziadani says, it's horrifying.
There's just a baseline assumption that none of you are taking anything I say seriously. That's just horrifying.
Well, if there was a betrayer shadow person and they is someone that we got to be concerned about, then that might be what they did to betray the other ones.
To be clear, I absolutely agree that that's a possibility. It's just going to give me nightmares now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm afraid I'm going to dream of everyone being juiced into some sort of beverage.
Mm.
Maybe. But that doesn't mean that you're wrong.
Maybe you should pray to your dream god again.
Yes, I mean, spiders do bite individuals and drain them of vital fluids, so... Huh. I will look into this and get back to everyone. Let's focus on the more positive, unified visions that you're having that seem to be... far more directive.
Right, yeah, we gotta find the ziggurat.
Does anyone, anyone know anyone around town? Or maybe, Luis, this is actually not an in-character question. Is there anyone around town who has a really good knowledge of geography?
Let me see.
Failing that, I'll make a bardic lore check, since that's lore for everything. And see if I recognize where we should go for the
Ziadani. Ziadani will do her best to describe the surrounding landscape that she saw the cart going through.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a sheriff, we have a mayor, businessman, mage smith. What else do we have?
Isla Mesa was our researcher.
Innkeep, a deputy. I don't think that's going to help. A jailer. Proprietor, oh, perfect. Rancher, human doctor, retired adventurer.
Ooh, that's a lead.
Stable groom, a chef. the tailor, woodworker, half elf consort.
What would be a more appropriate check for determining what kind of geographical area we're looking for and like where this region might be. Would I want nature or survival?
Let's call those nature, survival, society, or Altamita lore.
Okay.
Wow.
For nature, I rolled a natural 20 and I have 33.
Oh, well, good.
Okay, yeah, I did. But
that makes things kind of easy.
I think I should have 34, though.
Hold on. You said you rolled a natural 20?
Yeah. I don't know why it only added 13. Huh. That's very strange to me. Oh, sorry. That was from the last session. Okay, I scrolled down. I did not roll that. I rolled a 5. I have 19.
You rolled
the last. Yeah, the last thing in the log that I rolled was a nature check.
Was a natural one. Chetty's old rolls. Okay. 19.
19.
So you're going off of the vision of the woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The little you could see, like beyond around her, it very much looked like she is on the road to Altamita, if anything. All the surrounding stuff, the little you can see, there's some plains and some brush and stuff. And you think you see just like this the tiniest sliver of what looks to be like water nearby. It's kind of a stretch, but you feel like she's on the road to Altamita in what you saw.
I think the woman in the cart might be coming here.
Oh, well, that would be convenient.
It would be.
Should we try to meet her then in case she's having hits any trouble?
Yeah, we should probably see if she shows up within the next few days before we go traipsing across the country trying to find some mysterious pyramid that we know nothing about. Luis, I just, I don't think I said this on episode. I took the feat that I forget the name of that lets you get a new lore skill.
Additional
lore, and got desert lore. Would that be applicable at all? Even though this was not really desert.
We'll say it is.
Okay, thank you. Opportunity to use
this your brand new skill.
My brand new skill. That's a whopping 15 total.
That looks like it could be any number of deserts.
Cool.
In your vision.
Better luck next time.
I definitely want to make a bardic lore that allows me to recall knowledge on any topic, to recall knowledge on that pyramid I saw in my vision.
Great.
I'm just trying to figure out what my bonus is. Looks like it should be a 12. Okay, so let's see if I can. I always have to re-remember how to. Well, okay. So it would be 28 with the bonus.
28. All right. I feel like you have the biggest revelation here. I'm going to change maps real quick on roll 20. Hey, look, it's the map of the region.
Yep.
It's Altamita, and there's all these cool places you've heard of. When Saren tries to figure out, you know, what is this temple, what's going on, you recall that there's some abandoned temple way off on the edge of the Gold Cliff Mountains to the northwest of Altamita.
Is it actually where that icon is of the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You believe it at least from what you saw and what you recall, it looks like the deduction leads you to believe it to be that temple over there. What you know about that temple is that it is a temple known as, where did I look for the name? Temple of the Whisperer. Whisperer, one who whispers. I'm sure my word ran together with itself. And you just know that it's something that has been abandoned for as long as you're aware of its existence. Word is that it's cursed. Probably that's why it's abandoned and no one goes there anymore.
So I will say, so I think that temple vision I saw, assuming it's the same, we all had the same one. I think that is probably Temple of the Whisperer, which is north of the Glass Desert, west of the Cliff Mountains, like twice as far away as the Skymark Mine, which is abandoned and supposedly cursed. But that matches the description of what I saw.
Luis, on the map that we're looking at, the little icon is not a pyramid. Is that just because that's random art, or
just random art. I worked with what I had available.
Totally. Just wanted to make sure.
So abandoned, cursed temple, far away on the edge of the mountains in a glass desert. That probably is our place.
It sounds promising.
I agree.
How many days travel is that probably?
You're looking at like, because you had to kind of traverse either the desert or the mountains to really get to it. You're thinking it's probably close to the better part of a week.
Okay. I will share that information.
All right. So
not too bad. I was afraid it was going to be like on the other side of the who Lake. Knows what.
Right. So
do we wait for the woman to arrive?
Yeah.
Maybe we head there and see if we run into her?
We can see if she's here already, and we can see if she shows up tomorrow. But if she don't, we might want to start going.
Yeah, I guess we should check the saloon or the inn and then check tomorrow. I mean, we could maybe run into her on the road if we leave tomorrow either way.
Coming could you tell
direction?
Could you tell which direction she was coming from?
Well, what you know about Altamita, there is a road that, you know, going back to the map of the city here, there's that main road that goes east to west across the town. When you head west from Altamita, that road kind of ends very shortly outside of the city because it immediately hits the glass desert and no one is traveling that intentionally.
Gotcha.
At least not so intentionally that there needs to be a road there. So your best bet is that she'd be coming in from the east.
Okay, so the direction that we need to go is the opposite direction, so we would not be running into her on the road.
That seems most likely to be the case.
Yeah, I think checking around town and then if is probably our best next course of action.
Zirani stops looking like this woman.
That would have been great. Hey, we've been looking for you. Yeah, I could tell.
I'm looking for somebody who looks exactly like me.
Should we head down to the saloon?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt. I mean, maybe we get a drink, maybe play some games, see what else is going on. If they show up, then they show up.
All right, let's do it.
This has been a No Direction production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction Network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant. Thank you.